guys want to come up closer? The ones in the back, come on up. Actually, we were hoping it would be more of a discussion than like a more two-way conversation than a one-way. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. How's everyone? Okay? Happy? Okay, no comments. Okay, so really, like, let's try to, we'll share together. I'll share it with you, but like, hopefully we can share it together because like the topic would be, it's a topic that all of us are maybe struggle with or have a challenge with. So it might be good for us to ask questions, or you can share your comments and be more interactive. It'd be really, like, I know we have limited time, but still, let's try to share together. Let's open to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. I'm just going to jump around to some different places. Acts chapter 6, verse 8 to 15. I'll read and we can follow along and can get the idea. Acts chapter 6, verse 8 to 15. Of course, you know in Acts chapter 6 when the deacons were called and were ordained. And here we can see we're talking about St. Stephen starting in verse 8 and what's happening to him during this time. So let's read together and we can share. It says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. Then they also set up false witnesses who said, 'This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us.' And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel." You can see that St. Stephen, this person who is, you can see a man of full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, who loves God, and you can see people coming to him and trying to hurt him, and you can see his face was the face of what? Face of an angel. Now, as you know, I'm sure Acts chapter 7 is what? What happens in Acts chapter 7? St. Stephen starts to talk about what? Starts to talk about? Okay, the history, the people of Israel, goes through Abraham and all the way through Moses and so forth. And at the end, let's turn to the end of Acts chapter 7. So he's speaking to the people. The people are attacking him, hurting him. They took him into like to question him into like the courts, and they're really trying to hurt him. But now let's go to the end of Acts chapter 7 as he's being attacked and he's being insulted. He's being maybe even spit on and really hurting him. And let's see what's happening. So as he's speaking to them, let's start from 51, go down to 60 now. So we're now Acts chapter 7, verse 51 to 60. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their own clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So you're probably thinking, what are we talking about today? What's the focus today? Look, there's a big, big challenge for each and every one of us when we encounter people who are trying to hurt us or insult us or attack us or don't like us. Every one of us has those people who, every time you see them, they want to give it to you. They want to hurt you. They want to say something. You just don't get along with those people. Everyone has. I have one or two. So what do you do in these cases? And like, if you look at St. Stephen's life, how did he handle it? First of all, he did something nice. He spoke to them. Like, the people rose up against him. They insulted him. And he remained like, his face was like an angel. But his response was really just telling them the truth. If you look at all of Acts chapter 7, he was telling them the truth. He said, this is the truth. This is Abraham did this, Moses did this, Jesus did this, and you didn't accept him. And of course, the people heard him and attacked him and whatever. But I want to talk to us a little bit today about like what he did in the very last verse, which all of us know we should do, which we can't do it, is in verse 60, he says, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Like someone who hurts us, our natural reaction is to do what? Let's be honest here. Like our natural reaction when someone hurts us, we do what? We hurt them back. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You said something about me, I'm going to say it back to you. Okay? And the way that he was saying, look, I know they hurt me, but Lord, forgive them. Forget it. It's not worth it. Don't charge them with this sin. There's a story of like this missionary who went to Chicago. And this missionary had an assignment to drive around the community in a public bus, to drive the bus in like the worst part of Chicago, like the hard part of Chicago. His job, his first missionary assignment was to drive the bus around and go from there. Unfortunately, like, he met a couple gang members on this bus that didn't want to pay and caused problem. And so, you know, this new missionary, it was simple. He said, let me just go tell the police at the corner there that these two guys in the back of the bus are causing me problem and solve the problem. But he didn't realize they were gang members at the time. So he did that. The police got them. And then the gang members later on, they came and they beat him almost to death. And so this new missionary went to the court with them, and the judge and everyone was asking, what do you want to do with these guys? What do you have to say? He said, look, and this is a true story, by the way. He said, look, they hurt me and they did all these things, but I want to take their sentence. So I want to be the one to go to jail. And everyone's like, what? What are you talking about? He said, no, I want to be the one to go to jail for these guys, and I forgive them, and I'd rather go to jail. So, of course, the judge said, no, this guy's losing. So he put those gang members in jail, of course, and, you know, every week, this missionary went to visit them and talked to them and encouraged them and loved them, and after some time, of course, those gang members were transformed, and they came out, and they were also great missionaries. I'm telling you the story in a quick summary. It's a long, long story about this missionary from Chicago. He's a new missionary, but you can see really how powerful forgiveness is. The guy was beaten almost to death. Any one of us would say, let them rot in jail. Who cares? Let them go. But he wanted to take the sentence, and also he wanted... he kept visiting them and encouraging them and loving them, and of course, their life was transformed. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 real quick. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. So what do we do? Every one of us, like we said, has people around us that we just don't get along with, and we really don't, like, somehow I just can't get along with these people, and every time I see them, I'd rather just stay away from them. So what do we do? So let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 17. We can read quickly from 7. Actually, I'll read just for save time. This is Romans 12 from 17 to 21. Repay no evil for evil. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I was stuck on one word in verse 21. Is do not be overcome by evil. Let's think about it for a second. As soon as we have a hard time, as soon as we have a difficult time with anyone, we are quickly overcome. Like any tough situation when someone insults us or bothers us, or as soon as it happens, every one of us is just overcome. What does that word mean? It means that when something happens between you and another person, and you just don't get along, and you disagree, and he hurts you, or she hurts you, or whatever happens, the first thing that happens is we are overcome. We're overcome by evil. But here it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Just like this missionary who overcame evil by doing good for that person. This is true forgiveness. This is the forgiveness that heals. There's someone who was saying a quote. It was saying that it's a strange quote, but when you feel like you hate someone or you can't forgive someone, listen to this quote. It says, "Hate or lack of forgiveness kills both the person you hate, but also hurts and kills you as well. Hating people or not forgiving people is like burning down your house to kill the rat." So it's like when you want to get rid of that rat or that person or whatever. So it's like they said the quote is that if you want to do that, it's like burning down your whole house just to kill that rat. It makes no sense. And that's the same with us when we have like a hard time forgiving people. So what are we talking about today? Look, I didn't expect it to be like a big preaching today or a Bible study today, but there's something that's been on my mind and heart lately is that I think we as Christians have a hard time forgiving one another. Let me explain what I mean. Like, as soon as someone disagrees with you, what do you feel? What do? Someone disagrees with you. Someone says something not kind to you. What do you do? What do you say? What do you feel? Do you feel like, oh, he's my best friend? Thank you for sharing that nice feedback. You're so kind to give me that correction. No. Not one of us do that. So this is what I'm worried about, is that this is a very, very important thing to examine, to think about. What do you do when people hurt you? I'll tell you what we do, and just tell me if this is true or not. Most times we say, let's just avoid that person. And I can say that's okay after a few things are done. Okay, like our simple human way is that someone bothers me or insults me, I'm never talking to them again. Get away from me. It's over. Okay, that's fine after a lot of things happened. But of course, the Word of God says quickly go and try to reconcile with that person. If it doesn't work, try to bring two or three. If it doesn't work, so we have to see how, when we are hurt by people, how to react, okay? Like I said, or like the Bible says, is that we can't be overcome when someone hurts us. Don't be overcome by evil or wrath or whatever when someone hurts you. Quickly, we have to pray to see how we can overcome that with something good. Are you with me so far? Do you guys have this problem, or am I the only one that has this problem? Huh? Anyone have this problem? Raise your hand if you have this problem. Okay, good. Some people are with me on this. Okay? So, let's open up to Ephesians chapter 4. So, what do we do? What do we do? Sorry, let's turn to 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, What do you do when people around you are hurting you or insulting you? Or 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. What do we do? 2 Corinthians 2, 5 to 8. It says, but if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. Verse 6, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. And if you read Matthew 18, it's the best chapter about forgiveness. The whole chapter talks about the unforgiving servant. It says, how many times should we forgive? 7 times 70. So, like, keep a note of that, Matthew 18. But each and every one of us has to figure out how to react. Like, we were sharing with someone the other day, we were saying that our Christianity is funny. We think we're great Christians when we're at, like, church gatherings and everyone is getting along together. It looks like we're so united and so everyone's great. But as soon as someone says something to you, where's the Christianity at that point? Christianity is easy when everyone is saying, I love you and you love me and we love each other and we're united. This is true. This is where we need to be. Okay? This is Ephesians chapter 4. We'll get into it in a second. But my question to you is, how do you respond when something doesn't go your way or someone is against you? Or something, you can't just get along. How do you respond? Okay? So I want to say that, look, I'm not here to preach to you about forgiveness, but truly, if we can't fix the problem with that person, we are like a person burning down our own house just to kill the rat. Be careful. You and me are hurting ourselves by not being able to heal that problem between you and someone else. Don't be quick to say, let me just ignore that person forever. Don't be quick to run away from it. Look, that's with wisdom later. If it doesn't work that you tried, that's fine. But I want to say that this is how division and lack of unity happens in the church. This is the truth. We are Christians or not. We are Christians or not. If we are truly Christians, we need to find a way to forgive. We need to find a way to reconcile. If it doesn't work in the long run, okay, that's a different story. Remember in Romans 12 it says, by all means try to live peaceably with all people. By all means try. This means if you tried, then you did your part. But if you didn't even try, this is what I have a problem with. Is that we're quick to say, okay, look, that guy is just a troublemaker, and I'm not going to deal with him ever again. This is wrong. Imagine every time that someone disagrees with you, you say, Khalas, I erased him from the book. He's out. I'm not talking. This is wrong. This is the wrong way. So we need to figure a way to be different from this. The whole Bible talks about forgiveness and reconciliation. But when we're under duress, we don't do that. So we need to figure out how to respond now and how to really lead, like, how we can be led to forgive others truly from our hearts. If not, we're burning down our own house. Let's turn now to Ephesians quickly. I think I'm running out of time, and I want to hear from you. You be ready to ask and to say comments towards the end. Ephesians 4, of course, you know, is like talking about unity and how to live like humbly and gentle and things like that. And that's the first part of chapter 4 of Ephesians. But look at 15 and 16. It says, but speak the truth in love, and will grow up all things into him who is the head, Christ. From the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Look, at the end of the day, it says, basically, let me just summarize what this means, is that, look, each and every one of us, when we hurt each other, there's nothing wrong with going back to each other and speaking the truth, but doing it in love. What does it do? It knits us together and it builds the body of Christ, the church. You know, every time you want to avoid fixing a problem, you are breaking the body. You don't know it. You don't realize, it's not a big deal. Everyone has enemies. Everyone can't get along with people. It's not a big deal. No, it's a big deal. You're breaking what's, like, we're knit together. Do you read carefully? It said knit together. Like, you know, when people sew and do all, you're knit together, like, strong like that. But as soon as you or me decide not to come back in love and talk to the person and try to fix the problem, in love, of course, then we're just breaking that. And the more we break that, the more we break the church. The more we break, the body of Christ. So please, don't say it's no big deal. Everyone has people who don't get along with. We're so quick to say, look, let me just ignore that person. But did you ever try to make an effort to reconcile or forgive that person? Like I said, forgiveness is healing you. Forgiveness is helping you more than the other person. Of course, you know that. But as soon as you decide to ignore and keep what's in your heart towards that person in your heart, you're going to become an angry person. You're going to become more, like, more evil will stay inside of us. So forgiving people quickly will heal you, will grow you as a Christian, so you can live that Christian life. There's a funny story. I mean, it's not really like so related, but it's interesting that, of course, everyone knows Thomas Edison, whatever. I was reading something about him when he was making the light bulb. It took him a long time to, like, you know, of course, he invented electricity and all that stuff, and finally they came up with this contraption called the light bulb, and it was an amazing, amazing thing. So they were going to hook it up there. Of course, he gave it to one of his assistants to put it up there, and like, finally they can see that, like, how this light works. So he gives it to, after like weeks and months trying to put together this contraption called the light bulb, he gives it to the assistant. The assistant goes to put it up there, and of course we know what happens. It breaks. He doesn't even get it in there. So after all those weeks, months, whatever they were working on it, it breaks. So he looks at his assistant and goes back, and they start working on making the light bulb again. This is a true story, by the way. So they start working on it, finished, finally get it, and this time, he gives it to who? The same guy. He says, you go back up there. And, you know, he gave the same guy the light bulb again. If any one of us said, look, that guy ain't touching the light bulb. So he gave it to him, and he put it up there. Of course, there was light and so forth. So this is like, yeah, we make mistakes. Maybe that person that day, they insulted you in front of somebody. It's okay. Forgive him. Give him another chance. Give her another chance. Like, we have to give people more chances. We're so quick to say, that's enough. But let's give each other more chances. I would hope that people would want to forgive me every time I hurt them, right? How many times you hurt people? Don't you want them to forgive you? Of course. So, real Christian life. If you want to grow to be a strong Christian, we need to get this one down. We need to figure out how to not leave any room for anger in our heart, any room for lack of forgiveness in our heart. You're only destroying your own house. You're not destroying anyone. You're destroying your own house. So this is something important that we need to practice. Of course, St. Stephen practiced that. And, you know, I was thinking about the story. I heard someone share this before, is that when St. Stephen did that at the end of Acts chapter 7, where he forgave the people and says, don't charge them against this. There was one who was standing right there. Of course, you know his name was Saul or St. Paul, who saw and witnessed this forgiveness. And I'm sure that planted a seed that in two chapters later during St. Paul's conversion, I'm sure it had an impact. So you never know the forgiveness you are giving someone, how it can impact someone and plant a good seed. You know, of course, we say overcome evil with good. As soon as you do something good to someone who is doing evil to you, it transforms them quickly. It changes them quickly. Let's pray for that. I know it's like, I'm not here to say everything is easy, but what I'm telling you is don't be so easy with yourself to escape a chance at fixing a problem with someone. Don't be so easy with yourself. Don't say, khalas, it's over, and, you know, I'm gonna just leave that person. Don't let that be the way. You're breaking the church that way. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for a chance at forgiving people. It will help us. Forgiving people will change people. This is the way we should live. So I'll give you like 10 minutes, Kida, if you have comments or questions before Vespers about this topic. If you have any like questions, maybe you're going through something or you can think of an example, maybe you want to know more about, or if you have something you want to say, feel free. But I was hoping it would be more of a discussion, but it looks like it didn't really have a chance for that. But let's please feel free to ask any questions or yes. Of course, everyone. But interesting enough, we hurt the people who are maybe in the body of Christ more than those. But yes, you're right. We should. Forgiveness is for all. Of course, Christ, when he was being, like even with St. Stephen or with Christ himself, he didn't say only those who are following the people of Israel. It was to all. It was to all people. So we should be like him. His forgiveness was to all. Our forgiveness should be to all. And actually, your forgiveness to those who are outside the body of Christ, you can actually, it'll bring them into the body of Christ. Okay? And those who are in the body of Christ, the hardest place to show forgiveness is the people you're closest to. Your family, your church, your best friends, your whatever. It's like there was a story of Julius Caesar. Of course, you know Julius Caesar. Of course, you know when everyone, they came up to betray Julius Caesar, he was fighting them off. He was fighting, and they tried to stab him and kill him. As soon as he saw his best friend, what's his name? Brutus, attacking him also, he said, "That's it, I'm done. My best friend, I give up." He gave up at the moment of his best friend was betraying him. So the hardest is and when someone hurts you, when you're close friends and really wounds you, that's the hardest. If somebody from work says something, you're like, okay, that's... But you should still show them forgiveness. And you gotta definitely... So both are true. Yes, Mark. Yeah, and the Bible in Matthew 18 talks about that specific case. It says, look, you got to make an effort by yourself to reconcile. And then if it doesn't work, you got to get like maybe his friend or another friend or somebody else to come in there. And if you did everything you can and you truly forgave them, then that's, you've done your part. The problem I have is not that, Mark. The problem I have is that we quickly say, khalas, like we don't even give it a chance to reconcile. But if you've tried to reconcile and people have come and tried to intervene and to help reconcile with that person and to help you with that, then I think you've done your part. As long as in your heart, Mark, truly you forgive that person. The problem is we don't really in our heart, we still have something against them. Like when I see them, I'm like, that guy, I can't. But in your heart, really, you forgive them. Keep praying for them. When you see them, show them as much love as you can and leave it up to God from there. He can cause a change in them. If you keep overcoming evil with good, even if they keep hurting you and you keep showing them, eventually it will change them. Like really love and positive things changes anyone. You know, as soon as you do something good for someone, it's hard for them to speak. It's hard for them to, it cools down the anger in their heart. Over time, it can be reconciled. But there are special cases when they don't want reconciliation, but you've done your part. That's good. As long as you're not like ignoring them, and if they come to see you and you ignore them and things like that. So do your part and let's see what God can do. But you should also pray for them by name. You should also say their name in your prayers. Why not? If you truly care for them, you say, please be with that. That's what I do, by the way. There's someone who's always attacking me, always saying something about me, always when they see me, they want to give it to me. I'm always praying for that person. So... I tell you. It's not you, don't worry. Yes. And you can see St. Stephen also here doing the same thing. He's about to die, and all he's saying is, God, forgive them. Don't put the charge against them. You know, like, that's amazing to me. Like, that's, so you're right. Good. What else? Yes. You guys hear the question? So what tangible thing can you do to like, you have to forgive someone, but you want something to be done in your heart to really forgive them, to feel like you really forgave them. Is that right, Dave? So like, it has to be something internal. That's true. Like, you, like, just to go on with what David's saying, is that we can't go to people and say, I forgive you for what you did, but inside you hate the person. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. You're just trying to do that because you say, I have to be a good Christian. Let me just say, I forgive you, and I feel better because I said I forgive you, and you feel better because you heard it from me. And no, it's not true. And I think that it can only come, like, the truth is, it can only come from God. Because the way the Lord forgives us for what we do to him, that's the same forgiveness we need to have for others. There's no forgiveness that you can come up with your own mind and your own heart to forgive anyone. Forgiveness is like an attribute of Christ himself. So as soon as we can ask Christ for that forgiveness, and as soon as we can have reconciliation between us and him, as soon as we can have that for others. But it comes from him. Like, love comes from him. Love is an attribute of Christ. You can't say, let me go love that person. You can't do it without Christ's love working in you. And the same with forgiveness. So I think that, I mean, I can't give you a very tangible step except to say that it's in the store of Jesus Christ. Go get it. He has it. He can give it to you. We can't get it from anywhere else. If not, it's just a bunch of words. I forgive you. And just to say, I want to calm the problem down. Let me just say, I forgive you and you forgive me. And this is like pretend Christianity, which I'm trying for us to avoid. If you have a problem with somebody, go fix it. If you have a problem with God, go fix it with him. If you have a problem with someone, go fix it. Don't leave things there to hurt you and hurt other people. Let it be be honest with yourself. The more you're honest with yourself and God, the more you can grow. If not, that lack of forgiveness will keep you down as a baby Christian for the rest of your life. You'll never grow up. You'll always be the same way. So this is part of our growth, okay? Be real. Be a real Christian, okay? Be honest. Yeah, I hate that person. Be honest with God. I hate that person right there. It's okay. Be honest with God. If you can be honest, then you can get help to get that fixed, okay? But it comes from him, okay? What other questions? Or what other comments? Last call, 7 o'clock. Any other questions or? Yes, ma'am. Sure, go ahead. It's okay. Just say anything. I think the growth comes from the inside. And I think it's too bad that we always focus on the outside. And I remember when I first started serving in the church here many years ago and started my life with Christ here, walking and growing, I remember I was more focused on the outside. How do people see me? What should I do in front of them? If I serve many people, maybe people can see how I'm serving, and I see I'm doing all these tasks, and maybe people, you know, think I'm a holy person, I'm a good guy. There's a lot of outside things. I think part of the next step would be, like, who you are when no one's there. And being, like I was saying earlier, being honest with that. Like, who are you really? Not who you are in front of the church, in front of Abuna, and the deacon standing like that. I used to do the same thing. I used to stand like that and say songs and go to the Sunday school and teach Sunday school. That's fine. Those are good things. But who are you really? Who are you really in front of God when no one is there? This is something that you need to work on every day. This is what I came to. It was like we were saying that the Bible is a mirror. It became a mirror to me that I have a lot of things that I was pretending to be and I wasn't. But as soon as I came to the conclusion that I should stop pretending and start working on the things in me that are not good, they're not pure. A lot of things, not pure, not holy, not pleasing to God. I started working and praying for those things. And step by step, he started changing and building and healing things in me. So look at yourself straightforward and be honest with yourself. Who are you really? What are you really doing? And ask God to help you one by one in those things. Okay? It'll happen. Okay? Also, I think we ran out of time. Hopefully, we have more time together to hang out and discuss and to share. Of course, tomorrow everyone's going to come to liturgy. We're going to be in a liturgy together and so forth. And then hopefully we'll see you after that. Okay? So we'll let them, we'll go ahead and stand up for prayer and then we can go into Vespers. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, truly, we thank you for this great chance to be with you tonight, Lord. Really, it wasn't part of our plan, Lord, to be here. It wasn't part of, like, anything we arranged. It's just something that happened really last minute, Lord. And we thank you for just even a few minutes to be with you, Lord. A few minutes to discuss anything in our life, Lord. And truly, Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness you've given each and every one of us. Lord, we know how much we've hurt you. We've insulted you. We've spit on you. We've been ignoring you and how much you still love us and forgive us and ready to erase every wrong that we've done against you, Lord. Help us to have the same heart that you have with other people, Lord. I know, Lord, that we're all different people, Lord, and different personalities and different thinking. And we just don't get along with each other, Lord. But help us to be humble and to really be caring for one another and doing good to one another and forgiving one another, Lord, and giving people chances, Lord, like you give us chances, Lord. And we need that, Lord, because we're hurting ourselves, Lord. We're damaging our own house, Lord, when we can't be united with you and your children. Lord, we love you. We thank you for everyone here standing before you, each and every person here who's dedicated to knowing you and to serving you and to coming closer to you, Lord. What a great honor it is, Lord, that we can be here tonight, Lord. We ask you forgiveness of sins. We ask you to bless every person here, Lord, and help every person to be honest with you and honest with themselves. And if there's any anger or frustration or problem inside, Lord, come and help us and heal us, Lord. We need it, Lord. We need to be truly honest with each other. Lord, we love you. We honor you. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the session of St. Mary, St. Mark, St. Mina, St. George, all the heavenly hosts, Lord, hear us as we say together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Go in peace.